This evening, I'd like to talk with you a little bit from God's Word. And as usual, kind of down to earth, just chatting with you a little bit. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Father, this evening, I ask your blessing upon each one of us. The leading of your Holy Spirit. May you speak to each one of us from your holy word. And Lord, I know that many among us aren't feeling well, that they need a physical touch, they need an emotional touch, they need strength, they need encouragement. Father, today I would ask that your Holy Spirit would move in and out of these pews. Administer to each one those things that are most needful in their life. Touch them as only you can touch them. As only you can provide for the need. We put ourselves at your disposal. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. I'd like to read to you from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, the first five verses. And then we're going to go over to the book of James, chapter 2, in a little while. But first of all, let's focus on 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul, speaking to the church, said this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." I think in these times, as we're now in these days of political discussions and people trying to, it seems, almost tear our nation apart rather than putting it together, trying to get us against them and you against me and this opinion against that opinion and up and down and crisscross and right is wrong and wrong is right and all the rest of that stuff. This is all in the wisdom of man. We need the power and the wisdom and the demonstration of God. Let me ask you one of my silly questions that I usually start out with. Now, I don't expect any show of hands, but just kind of think along with me, if you will. How many of you have at least one, maybe I should ask for one dozen, gadgets in your house? Those wonderful exercise machines that was going to take you down five dress sizes. Well, it turned out it was a wonderful place to hang your shirts, right? How about that little thing, boy, the guy on the television, he showed you he could take that knife, and it was so sharp, he could cut through tin cans with it and then shave the skin right off of a tomato. He could shave a tomato so thin you could read a newspaper through it. How many of those did you buy that got stuck in a drawer? I'm as big of a sucker for this stuff as you are. But what is the real thing that sells it to you? Well, I don't know what sells it to you, but I know what sells it to me. If they give you a demo video along with it to show you how to do it, not just tell you, not just give you a book or a piece of paper to read, but they show you exactly how it's done. They demonstrate to you. Well, quite a few years ago, it was so long ago, I actually had a full head of hair. I was reading about selling things, and it said that one of the most important things is a good, convincing demonstration. Demonstrate. If they see it, they'll buy it. How many of you like QVC, HSN, various other programs on television? I'm amazed at how much they can sell. Thousands upon thousands of things. And you think, boy, there's got to be a saturation point someplace, but it still keeps right on going. Why? Because they demonstrate it. They make it so appealing that it's just the very thing that you need in your life. And without it, you will just be a complete pauper. You'll be a complete failure if you don't have this device, right? I remember a bottle of car polish that I bought. Well, I actually got two for the price of one. I was so fortunate. Why am I getting so many giggles and snickers out there? Did you buy it too? This guy went out into a junkyard. And he got the grungiest, scrungiest looking automobile. And he took a pad and this bottle of stuff and he poured it on there. And he started shining his old grungy hood. And man, it looked like $1 million. I was about ready to go out and buy a car so that I could buy that hood. Incidentally, the car polish, half of it's still in my garage. Where's yours? What sold it to me? A demonstration. They showed me how it worked. They showed me how good it could be. They got an appetite within me for the results. What did Paul say here in verse 4? I came not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Read it with me. But with a demonstration of the power of God. He showed that God could change a life. He knew that God could change a life because he was the man that was on the road to Damascus to take the Christians and throw them in jail. And God appeared to him, put him down on his face in the dirt, and said, I'm God. And turned that life completely around. The man who was so strong against the Christian faith became one of the greatest leaders of the Christian faith. He was a perfect man to demonstrate the power of God to change a life, to change an attitude. And you know, I think that is decidedly one of the biggest lacking factors in today's church. We cannot demonstrate the power of God. We cannot demonstrate the love of God or the change of God because too many times we as Christians look, act, think, and talk like the rest of the world. Where is the difference? They sell you this gadget that's supposed to be so sharp and be able to do all these things. Why? Because you've got a drawer full of knives that probably have an edge on them you could ride from halfway to Pittsburgh and never get cut. Because there's a difference. And we are supposed to be different than the rest of the world, aren't we? Doesn't Jesus make a difference in a life when he comes in? If you don't believe it, think with me, if you will, to that man who had been living among the tombs. And when Jesus came to the shore and stepped off the boat, and this man came down raving wild man, a man that they tried to chain him down, they tried to tie him with ropes. Whatever they did, he could break it apart. But Jesus said the word. He set him free. He made such a change in that man's life that when Jesus came back on a later date, the whole countryside came out. And he had a great revival there because they saw the change that was made in that wild man that was now sitting clothed at the feet of Jesus. And that's exactly what the world wants to see today. They see all of the drunkards, all the drug addicts, all the pornographers, all these other things that are just like them, but they want to see somebody that is different, that the power of God has worked within their life and made a difference, because they are looking for a way out. They need a demonstration. Not a demonstration of car polish or a sharper knife or a better exercise machine or a better diet. What they need is a demonstration of God within the heart. And that is what they have a right to expect. That is what God demands of us. Somebody that is different. Somebody who can demonstrate. How many times have you started to put something together? And it's got this instruction manual. Oh my. I tried to put this thing together 3 times. And every time I get it halfway together, the spring in here goes off. And poof, now I got to start looking for all the pieces again. I wish I had somebody to show me how to do it. To come alongside. To demonstrate to me. And Jesus came into this world and lived a sinless life to prove to us that it is possible through the power of God and through the Word of God. How do they say, when all else fails, get the directions out of the garbage can and read them? The instruction manual, friend. Let's read it. Let's follow it. It's up to us to show the world. James chapter 2. Let's take a look at that. James chapter 2. I'd like to read to you 14 through 20. Now, before I get into this, a lot of times people get to misunderstanding that I'm trying to preach a salvation of works. No. There's only one way to salvation, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ and the gift of God and the grace of God. But you here are family people. Do you willingly do something to anger the rest of the family? Oh, sometimes I know we play little pranks to get a little agitation or have a little fun. But to willingly go out and destroy a member of your family because you know that what you would do or say would upset them and destroy them, we don't do those things, do we? But yet, we do this with God altogether too often. What we do and what we say has a big impact on our demonstration of our love to God to the rest of the world. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, he says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and he has not works? Can just faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Oh, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things that are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, let's say demonstration, is dead, being alone. Yes. A man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Oh, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? What we need is more show and tell. I think we've got it backwards. We tell and fail to show. We need to show the love of God. We need to demonstrate by our life. I remember a man that I worked with one time. He intended well. He meant well, I'm sure. But he just didn't really put it all together too very well. And one day at lunch, there were several of us chatting together. And quite a few of us were Christians and, you know, did our part in church and stuff. And he started to brag, if you please, about how much he gave to missions and how much his church did on the mission field, which is great. I think we need missions. We need more missions. That's what the church is all about. But one of the fellows in the group gave him an attitude adjustment with a Louisville Slugger that day. He looked him in the eye and he said, "Buddy, how is it that you love all of those black people?" I'll use a more gentle term than he used. "How do you love those black people in Africa so much, and you won't speak to the new employee who's black? You are a hypocrite." The man was caught speechless. Several of us felt bad for him. I mean, it was embarrassing to even be around it. But it was true. Sometimes I think that this is a demonstration of speaking the truth in love, because the fellow didn't have a whole lot of love and gentleness about it, but boy, did he get through. Man, it was like using a 5-pound hammer for a fly swatter. It did the job too thoroughly. But what was he demonstrating? He was demonstrating that it's better to send my money than to go myself. It's better to send a token of respect than to dirty my hands being part of the man's problem. What are we demonstrating? Whenever we have people in our neighborhood, on our job, in our families, who have problems, and we look the other way, we don't get involved. We don't want to meddle. I don't think that God wants us to be a busybody. We have 10,000 excuses, don't we? Anything except get involved. I wonder how many excuses Jesus might have had to stay in heaven, to keep those beautiful, perfect hands unscarred, to keep that princely, beautiful face without the nail marks. the thorns and the beating. I imagine he could have come up with quite a few excuses not to come down here to this bunch of ragtag people on earth. But herein is the love of God demonstrated. Demonstrated, you get the word? That while we were still sinners, Christ died for me personally. He took my place. He demonstrated the love of heaven. He demonstrated the love of God. He showed it without any way to misunderstand it. What kind of demonstration do we have daily? I wonder if we have that same kind of demonstration as that man who wouldn't shake hands or even speak to the new employee, but still, in the name of the Lord, sent money to somebody he never saw. Well, I'm sure that the money went to good cause. But I sometimes wonder if this isn't what God had put in the Bible when he said, "There will be people who will stand before me on that day who will say, 'Lord, Lord, didn't I do great things in your name?'" And what did he say? "You'll have to go away. Depart from me. I never knew you." What do you think of a salesman trying to sell you a Chevrolet when he drives a Ford? You say, "Huh? You better go down the street to the other garage." Right? If it's good enough to sell me, why don't you use it? Are we trying to sell a gospel to other people that's not good enough to change our life? What kind of a salesman are we? What kind of a demonstration of God's love have we shown? Think about it. It's often been said, and truly so, that a Christian's life is the only Bible that many people will ever read or see. Paul was bold enough, and he had enough confidence in his lifestyle and in his, as he says here, my demonstration of the power and love of God, that he was able to boldly say, "Follow me as I'm following Christ. I'm following Jesus. And if you'll stand here and follow with me, we'll all get to heaven." Do we have that confidence? Do we have that assurance? Are we following that closely, that we can challenge people, "Follow me and you will find eternal life"? What are we demonstrating? The answer to that question, unfortunately, is something that we will all have to answer to God one day. I gave you great opportunity. I gave you many people passing through your life. How many of them have you pointed to me? Didn't he say, "You are my witnesses"? And Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples on the famous Sermon on the Mount. He said, let your works be shown before men, that men will see your good works and will do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That is the kind of demonstration. That is the kind of sales pitch God has called us to all sell the gospel. Not with our words, but with our enthusiasm. Have you ever noticed that the harder they are trying to sell you something, the louder and more forceful and more shrill they get, the more excited they get? They're trying to whip up their enthusiasm, and yours too. When was the last time you were enthusiastic about Jesus? Well, what about it? How is your enthusiasm as a salesman? If I was down and out, could you sell me your satisfaction and your experience that God is able? If not, why not? Let's pray. Father, today I ask that you will put within our hearts such a satisfaction, such a strong desire to share with others the great news and the great help and the great hope that we have in you. Not in the wisdom of man, not enthusiasm over some gadget, but in the deep down satisfaction of eternal life, of a clear conscience before God, of a hope through the darkest places of life, a hope that's able to change our lives, turn us around, take our feet out of sin and set us free. Lord, I pray that you will give each one of us enough of a hard place in our life, and then bring us back out of it with such enthusiasm that we can be a salesman for you to other people, so that we can reach out to others who have gone through or are going through those tough places, and we can witness that as you helped us, you can and will help them. May we yield our lives to you for enough hardship and enough heartache and enough problems that we can clearly demonstrate the provision and the power and the strength of your love and of your Holy Spirit working in us, working through us, that we can sell this good news to a sick and dying and hurting world around us that are now looking for love in all the wrong places. May we show them by our demonstration your great love. Your word tells us to whom much has been given, much will be required. You have given us much. And all you require of us is to share it. Help us to do it. In Jesus' name we ask it.